Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the pro wrestling quiz show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
To the highway, in a brand new day. Gotta let it go. So far, fast and free. Stars tonight together. Can't let me wrong and thinking.
Welcome back to Open the Voice Gate for November 1st, 2023. We are members of the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. You can find us on the Voices of Wrestling Network podcast feed or on our own dedicated podcast feed on all podcast platforms and applications. You can follow us on Twitter at Open Voice Gate. If you'd like to donate to the show, click the link in the show notes. It'll take us to our Red Circle landing site. You click the red boxes to sponsor this podcast, and you can set up a one-time, a reoccurring donation. No obligation whatsoever, but we would like to thank all of our previous donors. I'm one of your hosts. It's your old pal, Mike Spears. I'm anxious right now, but I'm being joined, as always, by our co-host, Case Lowe. In case you know why I'm anxious right now.
Well, you got a lot on the line tonight, Mike. I think we'll be done recording by the time you'll know one way or another, but a possibly monumental night in your life.
Yeah, so... we'll do this very quickly and alienate our European listeners once, and I'll do my best throughout the show to behave myself. For me, as a kid and growing up in Dallas-Fort Worth, yeah, I was alive when the Cowboys won the Super Bowl. Didn't mean much to me. I was not in town when the Stars won the Stanley Cup. I was in Miami in a bar near one Billy Corbin, who called me I believe the words were deviant for having money on the Mavericks beating the Miami Heat in 2011. And now, as we sit down and record, it's the top of the first. Rangers are up 3-1. The way I look at this case is Nathan Eovaldi is out tonight, best pitcher left in the World Series, and the Rangers have 3 chances to win one game. So, you know, we'll see. I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good, especially after last night.
I really wanted you guys to win before the series started. Now that you're up 3-1, I am desperate for you guys to win because I worry about you, Mike. You've done quite well for yourself. You're grown up. You're doing good things. But also, it's really tough losing 3-1.
Yeah, and also, I was talking with someone in the former EE Discord this morning, and I brought the point that I don't know if there is a way to lose a championship in as cruel of a way as the Rangers did in 2011. So, like, I'm kind of waiting to see what kind of cruel emotional scar this team is about to leave me.
Look, this feels, I mean, you tell me, you were there in 2010 and 2011. It never felt, you guys were really close against the Cardinals. I don't know. It never felt this attainable.
Well, I feel like the big difference between 2011 and 2023, 2011 was a team of characters, really. Like, you had Elvis Andrews, you had Adrian Beltre, you had Mike Napoli, CJ Wilson, you know, a bunch of guys that go out there and just say a whole bunch of things. And just we're like, oh, look at these zany Rangers. You have Nelson Cruz. You have like all these people. That was kind of like a hodgepodge kind of mess. That kind
they
of
had the antlers. They were doing the big antler taunt.
Right. Yeah. This is a team that is only concerned about winning games and eating hot dogs in the visitors clubhouse. Like, that was the big thing on the radio today about game five. Was the Rangers are at, well, maybe one of the reasons the Rangers are 10-0 on the road in the Major League Baseball playoffs is the fact that they don't get hot dogs at Globe Life Field in their clubhouse. They get like the deli spread. They get like the resort style thing. They get real excited to go eat a whole bunch of hot dogs and play baseball.
I would too. That's a good life.
Yeah. So especially after like the way that, like, especially you look like Corey Seager, and I feel like that's he's very emblematic of the team, even though Adolis Garcia very clearly is the heartbeat of this team. Do you know who is actually the longest tenured Ranger on this team?
Oh, God, I have no idea.
Jose Leclerc.
Okay.
Who looks like he is 22 years old. Like, out of everyone, he looks like an absolute baby. He was he was a January 2 signing. And actually, he was not signed on July 2nd, but he was a international signing in 2010. So, and he's been on the Major League team, at least consistently, since 2022. He was on the team in 2016, though. So that gives you a sense of like how different this team was than 2011. 2011 was built off of the Mark Teixeira trade. This yes. team is a lot differently constructed.
I was texting somebody last night. I am sure the MVP trophy already has Corey Seager's name carved into it. Again, I'm very happy for you. I'm very happy for this team. I told you, because we talked about this off the air a month ago, when the story broke that they were listening to Creed, you were like, ah, this feels ominous. This isn't good. And I told you, I said, you're wrong. This gives the team an identity. This gives people something to latch onto. And sure enough, that's exactly what's happened.
And it's something that, like, there's weird aspects of this team about the Creed thing, the hot dog thing, which I'm surprised hasn't taken off, and the fact that you have someone who looks like he is a complete insane person in Max Scherzer on the bench every game, even though he's on the DL now. Like,
yeah,
when you
Max Scherzer is a crazy person.
Have you seen him ever celebrate a postseason win, like a series celebration? Have you ever seen him do that?
I'm sure I have, but nothing odd is ringing a bell. What does he do?
Oh, he just looks like he's insane. He looks like he's touched by the devil. Part of that is, for those who don't know, Max Scherzer is heterochromic. So he has one pupil or one eye that's brown, one eye that's blue. When you have like people partying and shouting, it makes someone look even more kind of crazy when they have two different colored eyes.
It's not a good look.
Or it's a great look. You know, it goes either way.
For him, it's not a good look.
That's fair. That's fair. But we are going to put that aside now, Case, because this week on the program, it's about one thing. It's about the Culture Day Spectacular coming up in Dragon Gate on Sunday and Edeon Arena, Osaka. It's finally here. It's Gate of Destiny. And just before we get into the overall preview and breakdown, let's do a little bit of a heat check going into the show. How are you feeling about the promotion, I guess, momentum-wise, just how the course is charted? But what's your vibe going into this weekend show?
I am into this show. You know, we talked a lot in September about how boring, for lack of a better term, the promotion was. It wasn't bad. It was just very boring. And then October, they slowly started to ramp things up. I think this is a time on the roster where there's a lot of exciting guys. The promotion might not be the most exciting top to bottom, but there's guys that I'm really into. There's units that I really like. There's matches I'm excited for. I would put my excitement level somewhere between a 7.5 and an 8 out of 10 on this show. That's an odd card. It's not super deep. I think there's, you know, there's one match that we'll spend an extensive amount of time previewing, and then a lot of stuff that's like, all right, it looks cool. You know, it could go either way. It's not deep like the Kobe card was, like the Dead or Alive card was. Even, you know, Dangerous Gate had some real, like, you know, chin scratchers of, oh, what's the result of this going to be? This could really matter. I don't think this show is that, but I also think this show does look really good.
I kind of feel like that Dangerous Gate was not complete, and also Kobe World in that way, was not a purely like Dragon Gate card in a way that like having the outsiders the way that they were in comparison to how the Bodyguard just is the third in a Triangle Gate match. This one feels more like a traditional Dragon Gate big show, whereas in the past, like you would have Shingo Takagi, even though he's Dragon Season, but more Hiromu show up at Kobe World, which that made that kind of special. You had Fujita Jr. Hayato go against Yamato at Dangerous Gate. That made it feel a little special. But it kind of, in a way, with how these two preceding big shows went, it had focus away from the Dream Gate. Especially Kobe World, the Dream Gate didn't even main event. And you had the bizarre kind of feeling, D-Courage versus D-Courage match. And then even at Dangerous Gate, yeah, Minoru versus Kakuta was the main event there, but it did not feel like a main event kind of match walking out of the building. But I look at this as a show that even though it's seven matches and you do have an outsider in a title match, if you only have just that opener as kind of the chaff, a little bit of a get everyone on the show kind of match, I feel like that shows you, at least in the past, like pre-COVID, that would have been a good indication of a strong feeling big five show. And hey, I have a lot that I'm into on this show. So I think I'm, if you were at a 7.75 on this, I feel like I'm probably at an 8.25.
Yeah, this is a show. There's a few matches on this show. This is kind of the era we're in and Dragon Gate on these big shows. There's a few matches that if they really deliver, we're talking about a show of the year contender. Dragon Gate, for whatever reason, I would say the past two and a half years, not always the best luck on these big shows, and sometimes stuff that we think is going to be great ends up being maybe very good, sometimes just okay. And this is another one of those shows where, like, look, that 10-man tag in the middle of the show, it could either be an Ultimo-style 10-man tag where everybody takes it easy, or it could be a Monte and Doi versus Natural Vibe style of match where everybody goes really hard and Ultimo just comes in and does one or two spots. I'm hoping that's the case because that's one of those matches that will completely set the tone for the back half of the show.
Absolutely. And as we talk about the back half of the show, we really need to talk about the match 6 months in the making. The main event of Gate of Destiny is for the Open the Dream Gate Championship. Madoka Kakuta finally defends against Big Boss Shimizu. I'm working on a column kind of thing for voicesofwrestling.com coming out later this week, but it is something that I feel like this is the first real story of the Reiwa New Generation leaders happening and playing out, and we'll get some sort of a conclusion to it with this main event, with either Kakuta putting down the guy trying to challenge the Reiwa Big Six, or Big Boss Shimizu finally kind of taking the mantle that people have been waiting for almost a decade.
So I've talked to you, the last few weeks about where we're at. Are we 40-60 Shimizu winning? Are we 50-50? Is Shimizu the favorite? I ask you one more time, heading into this match, Mike Spears, let's talk about winners. Is it 50-50? Is Shimizu 60-40? Is he 40-60? Do you have different odds here? A few days away from this title match, you've seen all the house shows, you've seen the televised shows. Where are you at with the Dreamgate belt?
More and more, I think it's going to have to be Shimizu coming out of it. I know I've been more kind of strongly for Shimizu, but I think with the way that this kind of story is told, like, we're at a point where Kakuta can lose the belt and it's not going to be a failure of a Dreamgate run. He had a pretty successful Kobe World show that he will be the Dreamgate walking in and walking out of. Dangerous Gate, yeah, that was a weird show of a bad house. And I think that if he drops it here to Shimizu, it's not a slight. It's just the end of this chapter in his story. And I think that probably puts me at 70. I'm back to 70-30 Shimizu over Kakuta. Where are you at?
I have gone in the opposite direction. And I want to make it clear, I agree with everything you just said. I think you're right. I think you're making great points, and I will expound on those points. Even though they go against my prediction, I am at 70-30, Kakuta retains. I think they are writing this story a little bit longer. I think they are writing him as champion a little bit longer. But I am very much in a position where I think Madoka Kakuta will win, but I think Big Boss Shimizu should win.
And I guess, like, now that you are kind of at this point of divergence here, Kakuta, in your mind, is winning this match here. Where do you go to with him after this? Are you going into him and Luis Monte closing out the year, or are you trying to find some way to kind of position it around that you kind of have to see where the shakeups start to happen going into the winter?
I think you got Monte. I think you got Ben. And I think you've got a Shun rematch always looming. There's also the idea of Strong Machine J being thrown out there. He's obviously got the New Japan show on the 4th. The show is on the 5th. I can't ignore that maybe, you know, he has a strong outing on New Japan and they parlay that into a Final Gate main event. I think there are so many stronger options with Shimizu. I think it's a more interesting option, but I don't think Dragon Gate wants to eject on this. You know, I think Shimizu beat him once, and they are just not going to have him beat Kakuta again. I can't shake that. Even though Kakuta's had wins in the lead-up to this match, I feel like they've been very even. They've both gotten a chance to shine. I can't ignore the fact that Shimizu pinned him in August, and I just don't see him pinning him in November, even though, and you got to remember, this is something you and I have hammered home, we're talking about a 6-month story, a 7-month story. This has been going on since May of this year. Maybe my math doesn't add up. I think it is 6 months. May of this year, Kakuta wins the belt. He declares the Reiwa 6, the generation of Dragon Gate, the generation of now. Shimizu, of course, a few years older than him, comes out on that May 11th Korakuen show and says, "What about me?" And we get this slow build. I mean, this has been one of the slower, more long-term Dreamgate builds that we've seen in this era of Dragon Gate. I think they've done a remarkable job of getting here. I just think for all of this time and effort that has been put into this match, and again, I'm not saying that this is what they should do, I don't think they're doing 6 months of build for the sake of Big Boss Shimizu's career. I don't think they're doing this much pop and circumstance so that they can crown Shimizu as what we would all assume, even if he was to win, would be a transitional Dreamgate champion. They are doing all of this to have another notch in the belt of Madoka Kakuta.
And I think if that is the plan, that you've basically done a 6-month story to further solidify your champion, I think that that does make us think more fondly, I guess, of the 6 months we've had with Kakuta as champion. Because at the very least, like when you've been like looking at the overarching plot, for lack of better words, I hate always bringing in like literary or film criticism terms into wrestling, but if you're looking at the plot of it, of his storyline as champion, it's been much more so kind of defending the idea of the Reiwa 6 than it is really about how he's like going not or going D-Courage versus Z-Bratz. That's not what things are going with that. And I think that with the way you've laid it down there, I think that's a pretty compelling reason why to do this, because if Kakuta goes and loses it, with this being the storyline, it kind of does make him feel a little bit weaker if you read it that way.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, I also can't ignore the fact that Kakuta all time, he is 0-1-1 against Shimizu in singles matches. Do you remember they did a 20-minute time limit draw between these two last year in Fukuoka?
Yeah, it wasn't a very good match, if I'm right.
I look back at my notes for it. It's a 20-minute match, and I said, and this is a quote, "This was super boring for the first 10 minutes and really entertaining for the last 5. 3.25 stars."
Yeah, that sounds like a frustrating 3.25.
Absolutely. Absolutely it was. But he's 0-1-1 all time against Shimizu. And this is, you know, it's a real fork in the road moment, because they can ride with Kakuta and see if they can turn this title defense around. One thing that I was thinking about in the build to this match, because I would even say on this card, and granted some of this is just personal taste, I'm not even sure this is the match that I'm most looking forward to. I think there are two things on this card. Granted, they're in far lesser positions, but there's two things on this card that excite me more than this match does. And I'm into this match. Don't get me wrong. I'm into this match. I'm into the build. I'm into the finish, no matter what it's going to be. But there are two things I like more on this show. And it got me thinking about how, again, last August, Kakuta joins D-Courage first as an assistant, then as an actual member of the unit. And then he wins the Dreamgate belt in May. And you and I think, are on the same page that from August of 22 through May of 23, Kakuta was the most interesting guy in this promotion. He was routinely the one that, whether it was a Kobe show or Osaka or Fukuoka or a big pay-per-view show, more often than not, you and I left talking about the performance of Madoka Kakuta. And for whatever reason, when he won the Dreamgate belt, we obviously haven't gotten the great Dreamgate title defenses. We don't even have a lot of those smaller show great Madoka Kakuta matches anymore. And so I ask you the question, from May of this year when Kakuta won the belt through now, do you think Kakuta has been the most interesting guy in Dragon Gate? And if not, who do you think takes that mantle?
So I don't think so. I think it's Luis Monte.
Okay.
I feel,
is crazy because he was gone for so much of that time, but I don't think you're wrong. Go ahead.
Because basically, for the first 2 months of his title run, the story of the promotion was not about Madoka Kakuta as Dreamgate champion. The story was the lead up to the Mascara contra Mascara Apuesta six-way steel cage. I forget the whole phrase that they call it. The mask match.
It was a five-way cage match. Six-way. Gimmick. Was it five or six?
It was six, because remember, Ultimo got thrown in there in Dragon Kid.
Ultimo, Dragon Kid, Strong Machine J, Shun Skywalker, Luis Monte. I think it was five.
I thought there was one more.
I don't think so. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. But basically, the point remains, the focus was completely pulled by this mask feud that was featuring Luis Monte in the main event of Kobe World, having his long-anticipated and really well-executed face turn there. And then you went into King of Gate, which was about Shimizu. And then, you had the kind of quick build around going towards Kakuta and Minoru at Dangerous Gate, but then it was back to Shimizu. Like, it's not that he has had a bad run. It's just that he's never really been the focus of the last 6 months.
Yeah, it's a strange proposition that they've put themselves in, because, you mentioned Luis Monte, and I don't think you're wrong there. I also think, and again, part of this is personal taste, but part of this is also the way he's been booked. I think you'd have to look at somebody like Mochizuki Jr. and go, for the last 6 months, Jr. has consistently been pushed. He's been involved in angles. He's been involved in storylines, and he's been really goddamn interesting. And on top of that, he's been better in the ring than Kakuta has to some degree. So we're in a spot where, whether it's Luis Monte, who is, essentially a part-time wrestler, or Mochizuki Jr., who is, for all intents and purposes, a rookie, or even, you think about what Susumu and Kanda have done, or what Yamato's done as an unaffiliated wrestler. There are all these guys that they've just passed Madoka Kakuta. And it's my concern is that they're going to double down on this reign and go, well, we can't have him lose the title with his stock being the lowest it's been in 18 months. We have to have him beat Shimizu, and we have to push, keep our heads down and push through this. I think there's a real possibility that happens, even though I think it's a mistake.
Yeah, and then you have to then wonder, what was the 12 months building up Kakuta for? What was like the really big care that you put into him last fall, positioning him across Shingo Takagi, and Shingo Takagi's return match to a Dragon Gate ring for the first time in 6 years or 5 years. And you kind of wonder, like, is that worth it? Like, did you just waste time and equity in a way?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, I can use that as sort of a launching off point for this big picture Kakuta take that I was thinking of today, because, he just turned 24 years old. He turned 24 at the end of September, which is, I don't know, I how would you describe that? I would use it in one word, gross, because he's so
sickening.
Talented. Yeah, it's just absolutely
sickening.
Disgusting. Vile, if you will. I started thinking about the pattern that we sometimes lock ourselves into, specifically with these young Japanese wrestlers, and we can go all the way back to, looking at it with Okada, for, the biggest example of them all, is I think sometimes with guys under 25, under 30, we are so ready to anoint them as being, well, this is 1A, this is the ace, this is the guy, he's going to be the guy. We even got into this with Ben K a little bit, even though, I think our analysis of the lead up to that title was correct, and really thinking he could take the ball and run with it. He just never learned how to cut a promo until last year. Kakuta's 24 years old, and this is going to go into your point of why he should lose the title. I think I'm going to make this argument for you. If he beats Shimizu, now we're back at a point where we either have to transition into more non-Reiwa Six guys, you know, Mochizuki, Yamato, Susumu, Dragon Kid, whoever it may be, as your possible title challengers, or we're ripping off more Band-Aids. You know, we've seen him versus Shun. We've seen him versus Yoshioka. We've seen him versus Minora. Doesn't it make sense for a 24-year-old to not conquer all comers at this point in his career? Let this Shimizu feud marinate. Get the belt off of him so he can get it back, so that he can wrestle Strong Machine J, so that he can wrestle Shun again, so that he can wrestle Yoshioka or Dragon Daya or whoever it may be. Because, Mike, do you have any doubt in your mind that Kakuta is not just a one-time Dreamgate champion, that he'll hold this belt yet again?
No, he absolutely will. And let me provide a couple more instances of the short reign to further illustrate your point here. Shingo Takagi's first title run in 2008 was not a barn burner, was not a solidifying run. Some might actually call it a failure, and it's something that made him step backwards for a couple of years. But he came out five years later, basically, and then was the one who cut the head off of Shima, and then he later had the full solidifying run. That happens in this promotion. And you wouldn't want to do the conquering all ghosts thing because you did that last year with Yoshioka.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's, you know, that's a great point. That's something I hadn't really thought about is compare him to the prior, let's say, legendary Dreamgate champions of the past in their first reign. You know, compare Kakuta's first reign to what Doi did. Do you think Kakuta's had a more or less successful reign than Doi's first run with the title?
I think that it's more successful just because Doi had a higher degree of difficulty and wasn't able to do it. I mean, what are you supposed to do in title matches against Aki Bono in 2009?
That's a loaded. You know, Mike, if I had the answer, I wouldn't be doing this podcast.
You know, if you had this answer, then we probably would be talking about our bizarre hustle reboot that we'd be doing.
I am simply not doing that. If I will promise you this. If I come into a large sum of money, the hustle reboot is not what I'm spending those checks on.
I mean, the thing is, it would have to be at a certain kind of just insane amount of money that I can just go do this and would not hurt me whatsoever. You know, like it has to be something that would be a lark, and that's not happening until Powerball reaches a billion again in my mind.
No, Dragon Gate USA reboot, absolutely. Evolve Wrestling reboot, I could be talked into it. I would buy, if I could, the rights to Hamada's Universal, that ring canvas, especially that beautiful, beautiful ring canvas, and I would start running Hamada Universal shows in Japan again if I had that sort of money. I would maybe buy the old All Japan tape library, the old NOAH tape library. I would not be rebooting Hustle with my time, energy, and money.
But it would be funny, though.
yeah, I love a good bit. What can I say?
I Keiji Muto is willing to take a paycheck here and bring back the great Muda, and we're going to do some weird stuff. That's all I'm proposing.
I'm so convinced that he's wrestling again.
Oh, I think it's something that, like, he's going to chase the paycheck like he's done his entire career. And anyone who thinks this is a Bima spokesman gig is the end of it, that's there's going to be some sucker that's going to want Muto to run a promotion again soon.
I mean, NOAH needs to draw again. NOAH spoiler for anybody that's not up to date, that there was a GHC title change, I think, this past weekend?
Yeah, it was on Nakajima's last show.
Which I wasn't even sure if that was his. I feel like they did the Muto thing with Nakajima, where it was like, this is his last show, in Korakuen Hall, and this is his last show, in Nagoya. It was just like, wait, when is he actually done? Because you got your touting a lot of last Nakajima matches, but
while he's already doing stuff in his next promotion.
At which I, you know, look.
Thank God, by the way. Thank God.
My thing on All Japan has always been, I like it less than everybody else, but it's still a very good promotion. And I gotta say, I am catching up on All Japan right now, and I am very into it. That is a promotion that, good for them. I like what they're doing.
No, this needed to happen. Just for it never made sense for him going to New Japan unless he was picking up a paycheck. Anyone who thought that WWE Japan was going to happen needs to stop following Zach Arnold on Twitter. And the best thing for the wrestling industry in Japan was Kazuhiko Nakajima going to All Japan. And that's what happened. And it's a lot more interesting. Like it's the best. It's the best of all worlds in my mind.
Yeah, so when was that title change? I don't even see it on the
28th, I believe.
Oh, yeah, duh, was, okay. Yeah, that got no buzz, right?
No, not whatsoever. Like their Culture Day show, I tried to go through it today on the Spears of Asian stream, and like, of course, like New Japan and Dragon Gate always kind of have this doubleheader in Osaka, but like they're in Niigata, and it like the main event is like a junior tag match. Like that's what they're doing over this national holiday.
Did you see the results of this Noah show? Can we go through this for just a second?
Oh, yeah, let's do it, because it's wild.
Okay, match number two. In a different world, this match is awesome if it's just not a Noah Junior's match. 10-man tag, Alejandro, Ninja Mac, Seki Yoshioka, Shuji Kondo, and Teriyaki versus Atsushi Toge, Extreme Tiger, Hajime Ohara, High 69, and Juta Miyawaki. That match, there's a version of that match that's awesome. It's just not on this show.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a part of me that is intrigued by Eita and Hayata versus Daga and Yoshinari Ogawa, but as soon as I see it's a double pinfall in 13 minutes, I'm just closing the file.
So that's what I was going to ask you next, was if you knew the results of that match. A 13-minute double pinfall match with Eita and Ogawa again. I just don't... I don't get it. I want to talk to Eita so bad and just... You know, good, more power to him. He can work in two promotions and take zero bumps, and it's whatever. I just can't imagine this is fulfilling.
I mean, like, there's a lot of questions I would ask him, and I think a lot of them would be answered by the size of the paycheck.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's never, if he was working Noah and it was, like, cool stuff, I would get it. I'd watch it. I'd be fully supportive of it. But... in the years now, plural, that he's worked Noah, there's like a handful of matches that have ever been like, oh, you got to check out Eita Noah. This is rad. And I don't want to do the same Eita thing again, but I don't get him.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that like I have learned, at least for my own personal well-being, that I just have to like just go like, oh, he's doing that, and just walk away.
I wish they'd make him a heavyweight. And I know he's so small. I mean, he's, you know, he's not even a big guy in Dragon Gate, so I get it. There's an uphill battle there. But if Kano's your champion, I just feel like Eita would be so much better off doing that, like wrestling Kano or wrestling El Hijo Dr. Wagner Jr. I think that's, like, those are two matches I'd like to see, but they're just never, it's always Ogawa, it's always Daga. I just don't get it.
And is Kano really that much bigger than Eita? He's not.
No, but he you know, I mean, he presents himself like Loki, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, I believe that he could kick anybody's ass, and Eita certainly doesn't present himself that way.
Nah, that's true. That's true. So you're thinking Kakuta. I'm thinking Shimizu. Any other big thoughts you have about the main event?
I don't think so. Again, I really think Shimizu should win this match. I just think they don't want to give up on this Kakuta thing yet. And I think you have the out of Ben or Strong Machine J at Final Gate. And, you know, with strong support underneath, especially for Strong Machine J, you can get away with it, and you can, you know, have a respectable crowd in that building. I don't know. I don't feel great about the result of this. And it's also another one situation. Here's what I'll say before we move on is, you know, we've kind of found ourselves in the same position as the last two Kakuta matches. I don't know who's the face and who's the heel in this match, because Shimizu is going to be the hometown guy, and I would assume that he's going to get cheered, but I don't think they want Kakuta going heel, and that, to me, more so than anything else, has been the biggest problem with his reign, as they set him up for failure with Yoshioka. They didn't commit one way or another with Minoru, and now they're about to do the same thing with Shimizu, and I think Kakuta, who was a white meat purebred babyface for 10 months, you know, August through May, everybody understood who this guy was and what he was about and why he was fighting. They have completely abandoned that ever since he won the title, and I think it has been a grave error on Dragon Gate's behalf.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The semi-main event of Gate of Destiny is the Open the Twin Gate Championship match, where the presumptive tag team of the year, Susumu Mochizuki and Azushi Kanda, defend the Open the Twin Gate against the original incarnation of D-Courage, former Open the Twin Gate champions, Yuki Yoshioka and Dragon Daya, and what could be a real, I guess, resume-defining match for Mochizuki and Kanda.
Yeah, look, you know, we had this conversation at Dangerous Gate, and I thought they had a good match, but not a great match. If Susumu and Kanda deliver here, all right, now we're talking about a genuine tag team of the year contender.
Yeah, and it's something where I like what they're doing with the lead up to this. The one thing that I'm kind of halfway interested in, the Dead Fish Kobe Sambo Hall show on the 4th, is the singles matches between D-Courage and Mochizuki and Kanda. It's something where I feel like that we've already seen like an excellent match with three-fourths of this mat of this pairing that like I do have feel like my expectations on this one. Whereas with Kakuta title matches, I have now been beaten into just being like, hey, maybe it'll be great. Maybe it won't. I don't know. Whereas with the Twin Gate match, I do have an expectation of greatness.
Absolutely. You know, I am very much like, this is not a match to me that, you know, I can say, oh, you know, could go one way or another. I am hell-bent on the idea of M3K winning this match. I think this needs to be a Susumu and Kanda defense. Before I continue on with that, where are you at? Do you think the result matters at all in the grand scheme of things? Do you want it to go a certain way? What are you looking for here?
I think if you want to put the belts on D-Courage, you're doing that because you believe that you need to have some stability around Yoshioka. After dropping the belt in the beginning of this year, he's been kind of not like a wilderness wandering person. He did win Rey de Parejas with Madoka Kakuta early on, but he has not been necessarily the most present person on Dragon Gate shows. And maybe it is something that, yes, after a run like that, you aren't going to be front and center. You are going to kind of, it's good for you to recede into the shadows for a little bit. But I think the argument for D-Courage winning is, all right, it's time to kind of bring back Yoshioka from the cold.
I just feel like if you're doing this and giving D-Courage the belts, you get nothing out of it. It's all short-term investment here, you know, a short-term payoff. I don't see anything to gain from Daya and Yoshioka having this belt. And I want to talk about their first reign in just a second. But the reason M3K needs to retain is you've still got so much more mileage here. You've got a possible Mochizuki match, Susumu and Kanda versus the father and son duo. And I also think now we can't ignore the idea of Susumu and Kanda versus Mochizuki Jr. and Yoshiki Kato. And I could see that being a final gate defense. And then if you remember when Shima and Dragon Kid were champions, they had KZ do this angle where it was KZ and Maria for the Twin Gate belts and they lost. And then it was KZ and Hulk for the Twin Gate belts. And it feels like there's a real chance they could do Junior and Kato, they lose, and then they do the Mochizukis, and perhaps they win and finally win the Twin Gate belts. I am so hell-bent on the fact that M3K has so much more to do, and I think D-Courage is like, you know, what you get, you know, a Kai and Hyo defense at Final Gate? Who cares? You know, that's not something that I'm into, whereas I think M3K is still a vibrant tag team with a lot of different directions to go.
Yeah, and it does feel like that for a while with the when you look at the Twin Gates, it does kind of feel like in a way that it's kind of hard to remember the big time run being that dominant. That this one, maybe it is that there were so many matches before they won the titles that we do kind of think of the Susumu and Kanda team as having a longer run than it did. But it does feel like that, especially with someone like Kanda, who this will likely be his only Twin Gate title run, that they might really try to roll with it. I'm looking to see how many more defenses they aren't coming close at this juncture, even to sniff the top defense records. They are doing pretty okay in reigns right now. They are right now the seventh biggest, let me count that right, seventh longest run so far. But it does kind of feel like that there is a lot more left in the Susumu and Kanda pairing.
I'm with you. You know, I think this M3K unit has been such a wild success, and no disrespect to D-Courage. I think we both think very highly of them. I think the Dai and Yoshioka tag team, I think it'd be interesting if they had another reign, because if you look at their first run with the Twin Gate titles, here are the matches they had. They won the belts against Kento and Hyo. And then they wrestled Kento and Hyo and Eita and Maria in that Twin Gate match that I absolutely adored. And then they wrestled Hyo and Kento again, and then they lost the belts to Shun and Diamante. That was a year and a half ago. That feels like it was 10 years ago. You know, I'm okay with them having another run, just not at the expense of M3K.
And it's something that I feel like Yoshioka's Dreamgate run and the King of Gate kind of washes away the initial, like, D-Courage kind of run in a way, too.
Yeah, I can see that. He's a different guy than he was. You know, that Twin Gate run, this stood out to me as being odd just because I wouldn't have thought this, but, you know, that Twin Gate run was his first title run as Yuki Yoshioka in Dragon Gate, and then he had the Dreamgate run, and he hasn't had a belt since, but... You know, yeah, you're exactly right. You're talking about a guy who this was January through May of 2022. So he was, you know, fresh off the boat from Mexico and unmasked and really unproven. This is all before he beats Eita and he beats Yamato and he beats Mochizuki. Now him holding the Twin Gate belts, even with that same partner, it means something entirely different. I just don't think this is the time to do that. I'm not sure what they're gaining out of this.
Yeah, I think we're both kind of have come to a same conclusion here about this semifinal. I guess the one thing I would leave this to you, over, under 4.25 stars.
I feel comfortable going under. I think this will be 4 on the dot.
I'm hoping 4 higher, but I think 4 on the dot is kind of fair for that. And I think with that, we can kind of get into like the weakness of this card a little bit there. When you're open the Triangle Gate Championship,
well, can I ask you one question real quick?
Oh, absolutely. Please do.
Okay, so let's say this is 4.5. Then you're talking about Susumu and Kanda versus Kikuta and Yoshioka from Rey de Parejas as one of the best matches of this year. You're talking about the Kondo and Kano match, which I enjoyed even more than that. You're talking about the defense on the Buyuden show with Sugawara and Masato Tanaka that I thought was very, very good. Who would you lump into that group as possible tag team of the year contenders? Because this is the first time in a decade that I'm not considering the Young Bucks at all. I don't think they've had a very good year. I think the AEW tag division, at one point, their calling card really just completely non-existent in terms of great matches now. I don't know who I'm voting for. You know, Aussie Open had a great start to the year, and then they got hurt, and then they went to AEW and have done nothing there. I don't think Goto and Yoshihashi have done anything consequential in the second half of the year. This might be a case where even if the match isn't great, I'm voting Susumu and Kanda by default just because I'm struggling to think of anybody else.
And that's why I opened this topic with calling them prohibitive favorites case, because I don't think that there is a good argument for other tag teams right now. I just look at the landscape right now, and maybe one might say, yeah, Bishamon, you know, that they had the belts a bunch and they had, I don't know, someone might make an argument about like they had a really good New Japan Strong Independence Day match against the War Dogs. I don't know. But I just don't think that they did nearly enough. And to this and to that point, you look at the Young Bucks, they really weren't a tag team during this year. They were a trio, if that. FTR, we're talking really about 4 or 5 matches, and I would take Susumu and Kanda's top 4 matches and put them up against FTRs this year. That's for sure. And the more I go down it, there's more disqualifying factors to other candidates.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm struggling. I would like to know that from our listeners. I mean, I think there's, and again, I'm doing my All Japan catch up right now. I would think there are some All Japan tag teams that people would consider. Maybe, I mean, I don't know. I'd probably vote for Catch 22. I really like what they do, but
They might be the other contender, I think. I honestly think it might be TJP and Francesco Akira.
And I got to say, if I could poach any tag team and put them in Dragon Gate, just for a Korakuen show, it might be them. I love them.
Well, talking about the state of tag teams, let's talk about the state of trios in Dragon Gate, because I would argue that right now we are at kind of a low with the unaffiliated champion team of Yamato, Dragonkin, and Punch Tomonaga going against the challengers Don Fuji, Takashi Yoshida, and the Bodyguard, which, hey, the Bodyguard is in this match. That's great, but the rest of this does not scream for a healthy Triangle Gate division.
We're selling tickets, baby. This is the ticket selling match.
And we know Don Fuji will try to put Punch Tomonaga over a barricade somewhere.
It'll be fun. It will hopefully be harmless. That's the best thing I can say about this match.
Do you think that with a 7-match show, with a title match like this, and then 3 undercard matches, that we will be charitable and say maybe they get 9 minutes average across those 3 matches? Do you think that that's kind of lending to a scenario where we get to see a little bit more of a deeper Twin Gate and Dream Gate situation?
I could see that being the case because, yeah, there's nothing on this show before this. You know, this is going to be a short Triangle Gate match. I don't expect the Brave Gate match to be super long. I don't think matches 3 and 4, the trios and the 10-man tag. I mean, there's no reason for those to go 10-plus or certainly 15-plus. You're right. This is probably one of those shows where they break for intermission after this Triangle Gate match, and the show is like 70 minutes long, and then the last 2 matches get 45 to 50 minutes each, and there, you know, you fill your time that way. But yeah, you're right. This is a show that could very easily fly by.
Yeah, or something has to happen on the show that's outside of the matches, just to be, because you look at these shows, and you look at the Big 5 shows at least, and I always, in my head case, I don't know, but for you, I always kind of, whenever like I'm planning out my coverage, when I'm going to watch what, how much time I'm going to allot, Dragon Gate big shows, you're usually looking at 3 and 3.5 hours, 3 hours and 30 minutes. And it's hard to find 3 hours and 30 minutes on this show, just looking at the card.
Yeah, I mean, you would assume, you know, VTR to post-match promo, you're getting an hour for the Dream Gate match. But even then, that's, you know, that's a lot of time for Shimizu. You know, he's had 2 other Dream Gate matches in his career, the Mochi match in 2018 and the Kai match in 2022. And I don't think either of those were 25 plus. So even that, you know, it's not like you got, you know, 2 Ironmen in there. It's not Yamato and Mochizuki. So that might be shorter. There's no reason for Kondo to go a half hour. That's not happening. This could end up being, it's a very odd point, but it's possible this is one of these shorter big shows we've seen from Dragon Gate.
Yep. And that makes me think, oh, is there going to be a big out of wrestling thing announced? Is there going to be an angle, or is there going to be an announcement? Because looking at how they're going to fill screen time on this show, and the Triangle Gate match is not it. Yamato, Dragon Kid, and Punch, as Triangle Gate champions, they were the right breath of fresh air at the beginning of October, winning those belts. I can't look at this team with an outsider and make up a rational argument that why Fuji and Yoshida should be Triangle Gate champions with Bodyguard.
No. And look, the Yamato Dragon Kid Punch team, it's good and bad, because I thought the way they won the belts was super exciting. I like the way they did it. Not a lot of people saw it coming. It's bad in the sense that, hey, now we're getting some really interesting house show matches with Yamato or Dragon Kid, and Punch just happens to be in them. That's not any fun. I think they'll win this, and I think they'll drop the belts, you know, either in Korakuen or on that triple shot in Hokkaido. I doubt they go into Final Gate as Triangle Gate champions, and if they do, that's when they'll lose them. So, you know, I think they got enough mileage out of the win to justify this title reign. I think if you actually watched the match that they won the belts in, you would understand all of this, and I get the feeling that, you know, as it's a Big 5 show, there's going to be people that parachute in that, one, don't understand why Bodyguard's on the card, and I'm not saying it's a good reason to have him, you know, that he's going to sell local tickets, that, you know, he doesn't need to be in a title match, but nevertheless, he's in this spot, and there's people that are going to see Dragon Kid, Punch, and Yamato, they're going to dismiss it because they don't pay attention to the promotion, and I think that's unfair, because I think this team has validity as champions, even if I want them to lose the belt sooner rather than later.
Is Dragon Gate the most parachuted in promotion in our side of the internet? Because that's exactly what's going to happen.
No, I think at this stage, it's actually New Japan. I myself, I'm not watching New Japan shows unless people tell me to. And I'm certainly a little bit behind on the day-to-day of New Japan. But Dragon Gate's close. I mean, because, you know, we know the people that follow this promotion day-to-day. And there's a lot of people that have higher platforms than us that don't. And it's very frustrating.
That's fair. Anything else on this Triangle Gate match? I mean, it was kind of fun how they built up this match. Don Fuji stealing the belts, wearing a baklava and his Dragon Gate tracksuit, and very clearly just being Don Fuji. I enjoyed that much of it. I just kind of think, like, as we're going to get 10 fun minutes, and I feel like we've already talked longer about this match, and then this match will go on. But it's
I think
fun.
You're probably right.
Match four is a 10-man tag. It is the entire complement of Natural Vibes, Sons, Big Boss Shimizu, KZ, Strong Machine J, Jason Lee, UT, and Jackie Funky Kamei versus a real kind of interesting 10-man tag team. We have Ultimo Dragon, Luis Monte, Naruki Doi, Shuichi Kondo, and Eita. There is a good through line here. Like, this is a strong lucha team. Of course, Doi and Kondo being members of T2P, Eita, of course, Millennials, and Ultimo. It's kind of like they've got these five guys here. They are not really teaming with each other, but there is something between these five guys, which I really like.
I mean, this could be a unit. You know, if we blink hard enough, this might just be what they end up doing.
Yeah, no. And I'll say this. There was a on the house shows this weekend, there was a Doi Monte versus Punch Tominaga and Yamato match. Like, talking about, you have to kind of sit through some Punch Tominaga now to see Yamato and Dragon Kid. Doi Monte is a fun tag team. Like, there's something there, I feel like.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. I mean, look, I don't think, well, I guess famous last words here. I don't think they can screw up Monte's unit, because I just think he is about to hit a run as we start the year that is going to be so special and so entertaining. I don't care who it is. As long as it's not Punch, I think they're going to do the right thing with him.
Yeah, and with this 10-man tag, it's really, are we going to have a Natural Vibes 10-man with Ultimo coming in, doing the spinning wheel kick, doing his head scissors headlock takeover, and maybe a long match draw, or are we getting an Ultimo?
I really hope it's the former, because I think this match could be excellent, especially if Eita tries. And then, you know, I start thinking about, okay, Final Gate, what are they going to do with Monte? You know, we're assuming he's going to have a unit in place by that point, just given what's coming up on the Cork and Hall show later this week with the handicap match, him versus Zebrats. But boy, would it be nice to see Monte versus Eita in a singles match in some capacity. I would just like to know what that looks like.
Yeah, and what if that match actually, like, had some teeth to it, and it's not like a random Kobe Sambo Hall match too? That's what I'm hoping for.
Oh,
like,
God, it can't be that. It has to be, you know, I was thinking about Gate of Destiny last year, because the big match on that show for us was Eita versus Takuma Fujiwara, and it was so exciting to get, you know, effort Eita in the mix. And I don't think we're going to get effort Eita in this match. But yeah, it would be really nice to get a try-hard Eita performance versus Monte at some point.
I guess the real question of Eita in this match is, how many t-shirts is he bringing? Is it going to be 25 or is it going to be 50?
Look, he's going to make his money one way or another.
Match three, we have a Zebrats versus Mochizuki's and Kato, as it is Masaki Mochizuki teaming with his son, Mochizuki Jr., who is teaming with his new tag team partner, Yoshiki Kato, versus Shun Skywalker, Kai, and Hio.
I am so into this. This is my most anticipated match on the show. I know that might sound hyperbolic to some people, but I think the Junior Kato tag team, who have begun running roughshod through these Dragon Gate house shows, they right now, to me, are the most entertaining thing in all of Dragon Gate.
And it's been a fun thing to see Junior and Kato kind of figure themselves out on these house shows. We had basically three shows between our last Voice Gate and tonight. There was a show in Ishikawa, a show in Okayama, and then a show in Hiroshima. All of them had a Junior and Kato tag up on YouTube, and all three of those matches were easily the best things on them.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, these guys are kicking ass.
And I think the thing that really got to me on this, on these matches, where you kind of got to see, their first match was against Big Time, and then that was a fun, I went 3.5 on that. DK and Monte was really, really good. The one thing that kind of makes me a little bit disappointed here is, I think Yoshiki Kato should work Luis Monte for a month, because it did kind of feel like during these matches, and I don't know if it was that way for you, it kind of was like, okay, Kato, you've been doing your own thing, But now it's time for your Crash Course and Lucha Rats, and you're going to have to do some Dragon Gate ass tags.
So, yes, I think you're right, and I think we're headed in the right direction there, because I thought the, what was it, Jackie and Jason versus Junior and Kato, that match happened, right?
Yep, that was okay. At Hiroshima. Yeah.
I wasn't sure if that was the right vibes pairing, but it was. That, to me, and I would recommend everybody go watch that match. It's not quite Notebook, but it is in the hall of very, very good matches this year.
I was 3.5 on it. Yeah, I would agree with that.
It would make my fun matches of 2023 DVD comp. It is TV wrestling at its finest. And to me, that was the most complete, like, hey, Yoshiki Kato looks like a Dragon Gate wrestler performance that he's had yet. I thought he was just animalistic in all the right ways, but, you know, light on his feet, very, very fluid throughout all the natural vibe sequences. I thought he was great at that match.
And he had, like, one of the nastiest Boston Crabs I've ever seen on JFK. That was really brutal. And it's something that, like, when you talk about this pairing, like, Junior, as someone who, for the last 17 months, has done no wrong whatsoever, it's kind of fun to see him kind of as a captain of a tag team in a way, and him kind of getting the spotlight, like, singles action and not dropping the falls. Like, there was a Jason and Junior late sequence in this tag match that was incredible leading into the finish.
I completely agree. Look, I've said my piece on Junior. I think he's one of the most exciting wrestlers in the world, and I think he's only getting better, which is the startling thing. Kato, I think, is very much on the cusp of just being tremendous, you know, and of being a Dragon Gate wrestler through and through. That's what we need to see from him. And I think they're doing the right thing here. You know, I'm very, very interested as we progress in this story, what they are going to do with Kato being implemented into M3K. If this is going to be a thing that happens, because now you have really, you know, the first temptation of Junior to possibly leave, because you had he and Ishin last year, but that was more as Ishin going to join M3K. Now you have Kato, who, again, unaffiliated, same class as Junior, and it very much feels like they could go off and start their own thing. Forgive me for possibly being hyperbolic, or at the very least being excited, but I can't help but draw a comparison between these two and one. I'll answer this in the form of a question. If Junior and Kato start teaming, are they this generation's Speed Muscle, or are they this generation's Mochi Fuji?
You know, it would be very easy to go Mochi Fuji, but I do kind of see the Doyoshi here.
Yeah,
And it's something I think also watching this match immediately before a tag match that had Naruki Doi in it, and seeing the things that Naruki Doi did. And man, I don't think Kato loses a thing if he kind of becomes the muscle part of a tag team and still has this rough and ready bull in a china shop kind of style. I think it actually lends itself to it. And it's something with Junior that, like, it lets him to kind of flesh out himself as a wrestler and not just be Masaki Mochizuki's son. And as we've, like, kind of seen, especially this since the summer, since he came back, yeah, I feel like we've seen him kind of more and more carve out his own niche as his own wrestler. And I think having a tag team that is distinctly different from Mochi Fuji, as much as I love Mochi Fuji, I think is the right step. I think it needs to happen.
I am really hoping that Junior crushes it on this New Japan show this weekend. I really want people paying attention to how good he is and how he's only just getting started, because I really am so into him as a wrestler this year. To me, he's definitely a top 50 guy, but when I think about who I've enjoyed most consistently on all of these Dragon Gate shows, he might be a top 25 wrestler for me this year.
Case, do you get the goosebumps on, like, your arms when you hear, like, interest music come and it's his theme and not, like, the immediate, like, as much as I love his dad's theme, it's not his dad's theme. It's not, this theme cannot be played for copyright reasons, but it's that one. Because, like, whenever I start hearing that, like, I instinctively, not to pull, like, a full Andrew Rich, want to, like, start punching the air out of excitement, because I know what's going to come. And that has easily been the thing that's been keeping me most excited in Dragon Gate over the last year.
Yeah, I mean, other than Kamei, who I think you and I would agree is the most consistent wrestler on the roster, Junior might be two now, right?
Yeah, and it's something that, like, you got to have in that Hiroshima tag. One of my notes I have here, Junior versus Jackie in a battle of who can do less wrong.
It's unbelievable. I mean, again, you know, Kamei's this generation's Horiguchi. He's a different animal, but
he's big match Jack.
Yeah, he's incredible. But Junior's right there with him. I mean, you know, Junior's matches don't make all the YouTube uploads, but when they do, I'm never like, oh, that sucked. And then he's great on these Korakuen shows. He's great on these big shows. He's as consistent as it gets.
I never skip a Junior match on an upload.
No, like, no, neither do I.
And it's something whereas, like, I can't say that about a lot of the elder roster at this point. And with the current unit landscape, at least in my opinion, being a little bit more towards the stale side, it is something that, like, whenever I see Junior, it's a little kind of pep in my step. Let's talk about the heel side here. It does kind of feel like with Z-Bratz here, they are in this match as kind of, well, these three guys, the heels, aren't in programs right now, and everything is directed towards Luis Monte. Is it something where you kind of just see them as holding pattern until that Korakuen?
I think this could very easily be the last time we see these three guys team with one another.
It does really kind of have that air, and especially as Z-Bratz is coming up on that 2-year anniversary, and I like pointing that out, that 2 years for a heel unit, that's when things start to change.
Absolutely. No, I mean, look, and I think it's time. You know, I would keep Shun doing exactly what he's doing, but as I've said time and time again, Hyo needs a turn. I think Kai needs a turn, and you line up Shun and Ishin with whoever you'd like, and I think you'll be off to the races because Shun is Shun Skywalker, and he's quite good at this.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of the thing I'm excited about, is I want to see who's going to do the heel turns, because that is going to be the thing that adds spice to this unit here. Do you have anything else?
I still think Yoshioka is a possibility. You know, one of my predictions for the second half of the year was that Shun and Yoshioka are in a heel unit by the end of the year. I can't ignore that. I still think that's a real possibility.
Yeah, I mean, and one could see, like, if Daya is the one taking the fall in the Twin Gate match, you know, I mean, he's coming up on 2 years of teaming with Daya. Like, there's a lot there to kind of get into with that. Do you have any other trios thoughts before we talk about the last member of Z-Bratz?
No, I do not.
So the last title match, match two, open the Breakgate title match. Ishin, in his second reign, makes his first defense against Ryoya Tanaka, who has yet to win in an official match. This came about during the Royal Sambo at Kobe Art Center last month, where the final two were Ginki Horiguchi and Ryoya Tanaka. Ishin made a lot of talk beforehand saying, hey, y'all are all Breakgate division, so why not my next opponent come from here? Ginki won, and Ginki gave the option of either him taking the match, him being 45 years old and a 20-year veteran, or you could face a 24-year-old who had never won a match yet in Ryoya Tanaka. And what really does kind of feel like Tanaka's first big singles match and first, like, focus since his debut.
Let me go sports radio on you for a second. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Who needs a great match more here, Ishin or Ryoya Tanaka?
I think that Ishin does, because of the status of the Bravegate Championship over the last years. But Tanaka is... I could give the argument for both of them if you'd like.
Please.
So for Ishin, who I'd argue needs it more, he came in as Bravegate Champion really speaking a lot of trash. Jay talked about it on the program before Kobe World, that really, like, the idea of the Bravegate being kind of weak until Ishin took it. And then you had the quick switch with KZ getting the belt back on Ishin in a situation where we do kind of feel like that was a quick turn to help a house. But he hasn't had the defining match that he has promised. And at a certain point, you have to start be able to cash those checks. So that's the argument for Ishin. Would you disagree with that argument?
No, I think that's fair.
So for Tanaka, he is someone that was, if Mochizuki Jr. was born on third, but then immediately stole home, going that analogy, Tanaka kind of was put on first as a pitch runner. He was able to kind of be a highlighted guy in a little bit of a thinner rookie class, get a little bit of a push forward, but up until the last month, I would argue, has been basically a non-entity as a rookie wrestler. So having a match like this, especially after his strong performance in Buyaden in October and the rest of the month, really is the first step for him in his wrestling career, proving that he can do it on his own and not just because the company chose him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think both those are fair points. I think, you know, Ishin just has higher stakes with where he's at in his career right now. Tanaka, you know, if this is just a so-so match and Tanaka messes up a dive, he'll be okay. You know, I think he'll recover from it. Ishin is champion, especially with his character, just to reemphasize your point, all the smack talk that he's given about the Brave Gate division, he kind of needs to have a killer match here.
Yeah, and it's something where he is someone that, like, if we want to talk about it being a weight division belt, he is kind of pushing that. So you kind of need to have the backing to be like, yeah, he might be over 82 kilos, but he's having these killer matches that you could kind of in the back of your head, disregard and move on with that. I just think that it's something that in this division that really has been flailing, for lack of better terms, for the last few years, having a stronger champion will make it feel better.
Absolutely.
And for someone like Ishin, and the idea of this belt maybe being because of the status of the younger wrestlers in this promotion being under 82 kilos, this being like a young generation belt, he needs to be able to define himself as a bulwark of that generation. He needs to have a strong title match to prove that.
I would concur.
Ed, do you have any other thoughts about the Brave Gate?
I'm looking forward to it. You know, I think Ishin's going to win. I don't see any version of Tanaka winning this match. So I'm hoping for a great sort of Takuma Fujiwara versus Dragon Daya-esque performance from Tanaka in this match. I think this is a real chance for him to become a much bigger name than he was going into this match. But no, I think the result here is pretty obvious. It is just a matter of what we see from the match quality perspective.
Yeah, this is a situation that Ishin tears his Achilles tendon, they still try to find a way that he can roll up Tanaka. Like, that, it's just not a scenario where a completely unproven rookie can even be the plan B here. It's just, he's here to have a good match and to kind of make his step forward.
Very much so. In his hometown adjacent, so good spot
exactly.
To do it in.
Absolutely. And then the opener, we have Gold Class Kota Minoura, Benkei, and BB Hulk versus unaffiliated Genki Horiguchi, Kagetora, and Problem Dragon. Hey, look, it's something Gold Class, they've got to figure out what to do to kind of to provide a little bit more life into this unit. It's not like that this unit is in an awful position, but you kind of lose so much luster without Minorita. And now the departure of Minorita has been like 2 or 3 months ago. And I kind of just want to see like a path forward for these three guys if they are to remain as a group.
Yeah, yeah, they're very much the odd people out on this show. You know, nothing really going on for them, and in an opening match that is not the most exciting. So, I think Ben has a real possibility of headlining Final Gate, and that'll fix them right up. But yeah, no, they're in a very odd spot here.
Yeah, and it's something where I don't know. Maybe it's just me here. I look at that, and I look at Genki, Kagetora, and Punch, and Problem Dragon. I go, like, we can't find a reason why Daiki should be on this show and not Problem Dragon?
Yep.
Or really just, like, that's kind of the way I look at these match ones or match zeros is just, like, I would rather see younger guys getting time than just established jobbers, basically.
As would I.
And that is Gate of Destiny. It is November 5th from Edeon Arena, Osaka. It'll be live on the Dragon Gate Network. Jay and Ho-Ho will be there live giving you commentary. It's a 5:30 local start. Remember, for our listeners in the United States, Daylight Savings is ending this weekend. So prepare your clocks. It might be kind of switched up this weekend. It's listed as a 3:30 a.m. East Coast start time. I think that actually might be at 2:30. I'm not certain about that, but use your own time zone converters to figure it out.
Look, this happens every year, and I literally never remember what the answer is, so I cannot help you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I just want to make sure Daylight Savings is ending. Yep, it's ending November 5th. That's what I thought. Yep,
but it happens like as the show's beginning. So it's the most, I never know what to tell people. It's the most confusing thing. I go through this every year.
Yeah, it will be something that, hey, if you are someone who is in America and you're watching the show, the local start time is 17:30 JST. Use that and see where that kind of figures out there. Keep your clock. If you have a clock app, keep a clock with a Tokyo area code on there, and you'll be able to figure out that way.
Absolutely.
So they do have one other show happening before it. It is the Dead Duck Cork and Hall, Kobe Hall Showcase. I'm just going to run through the just so that we could say we've gone through it. We have an opener, 8-man tag, Dragon Kid, Naruki Doi, Kagetora, and Ryoya Tanaka versus Shun Skywalker, Kai, Hyo, and Ishin. That is Zebrats. A really deep Royal Sambo, KZ, UT, Kota Minora, Benkei, BB Hulk, Ginky Horiguchi, Konamaui Chikawa, Sachi Hoko Boy, Problem Dragon, Daiki Yanagiuchi. Match 3, Ultimo, Masaki Mochizuki, and Luis Monte. I like Masaki Mochizuki teaming with Monte. I could have more of that. Against the Kung Fu Masters, Jackie Funky Kamei, Jason Lee, and Ho-Ho Loon. Match 4 and Match 5 are Twin Gate previews. Yazushi Kanda versus Yuki Oshioka in Match 4. Susumu Mochizuki versus Dragon Daya in Match 5. And the main event is a Dream Triangle preview match. Madoka Kakuta, Yamato, and Punch Tomonaga versus Big Boss Shimizu, Don Fuji, and Takashi Yoshida. Boy, that's a Kobe Sambo Hall show that's happening a day before a bigger show.
Sorry, I was muted there for just a second. Boy, is it ever, as we talked about, this will be the one Dragon Gate show of the year that I do not watch. I just can't. I'll watch the Mochi Monte match, but I just can't imagine spending more time than I need to on this show.
Yeah, especially with that, this show will be happening the same time as Power Struggle in Osaka. The Frontier Zone, they have not announced the Dragon Gate Young Guys opponents. It's going to be Strong Machine J, Mochizuki Jr., and Yoshiki Kato there. So it's something where, like, hey, we are probably first and foremost English-speaking Mochizuki Jr. fans, and you kind of feel his absence on this Kobe Sambo Hall show because he's working New Japan.
That's right, and I don't think there's anything announced for what he's doing just yet, but I'm really excited to see that.
Yeah, it's something where the thing that I've kind of found fascinating, at least, was the New Japan English Twitter account and in their socials haven't really talked a whole lot about Strong Machine J's dad is, which kind of surprised me given how long of a run Super Strong Machine had in New Japan, and they still run with his gimmick all the time on another Bushiroad promotion.
Yeah, very much so.
Very kind of weird. Well, Case, we went through this episode a little bit shorter than I expected. I guess that's what happens when you have kind of a smaller big show. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on before we got out of here, Case?
I'll say this real quick. In the Discord, Angry216, who is just a delightful man always, he does the Dragon Gate Match of the Week in the Dragon Gate channel. And the Match of the Week this week is Shima and Gamma versus Tiokan Eita from September 2014. I rewatched it today. Mike, you need to rewatch it. Everybody that's seen it, give it another look. If you've never seen it, exit out of the podcast. We're done here. Go watch that match. I just had so much fun watching it today. It was really so enjoyable.
Yeah, and like when you think about Osaka Zen Roke, this isn't really a match you think of. And this is like at the peak of TNE, like fresh off of their big Kobe World match against Shingo and Akira. Like this was when you talk about T-Hawk and Eita as a tag team, this was the peak of this. This match rules. I remember this match quite fondly. And yeah, I will be, after the Rangers game, tabbing out and checking this one out.
So, okay, interesting question for you before we go. I think of this as the Osaka 6 match. Where do you go if you're not going to this match?
All right, Osaka Zen Roke matches. Okay.
There's a few different eras. They teamed together in a few different incarnations, but I thought this run was, I mean, it was the best thing Gamma ever did, and I thought it was their best stuff as a team. A very good tag team, as that ball's hit deep left field and caught. Rangers still scoreless. I thought that was going to leave the park.
I have a match that I think I remember this at least because of the time period. This was not the initial run of Osaka 06, but Kaneska versus them was a strong match.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
But when you're really talking about this tag team, it's never really, like, that's the funny thing. Like, when you think about Shima tag teams at the very least, yes, you do have Osaka Zen Roke, but I feel like you talk more about Spike Mohicans or CK1 than that, but he's been long. He was a longer tag team partner with Gamma than he was with Don Fuji.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's
no,
always,
this was a very good tag team at certain points. It was always the best stuff that Gamma ever did.
Is it bad that I right now have pulled up all of the tag matches that Shima and Gamma had with each other? It's a pretty good one. There's actually probably more of these matches than Speed Muscle matches for people to watch. But I kind of want to go check out check Shima Tani and Ryuichi Kamikami versus them from Glade.
Was that Gamma's retirement show?
No, their retirement show was Kazuma and Big Boss Magma, Magneto Kishiwada.
Did Gamma work a match in that promotion?
Yeah, this is the first anniversary show from Tokyo Dome City Hall.
Oh, I do remember that. Okay, all right, that wasn't ringing a bell. It's not fun.
No. I mean, this was the show that was main evented by Yuji Nagata defeating Takanori Ito in a UWF rules match, guys.
Well, it worked out for the promotion. They're doing big business now.
I mean, everything's going fine over there. I don't know why they're concerned at all. I don't know why Minoru Tanaka might be having a press conference about Ledette UWF. Everything's going great there.
Look, I hope it's him announcing a big venue show. That's the funniest thing that could happen is we're taking this to Sumo Hall. We're taking this to Budokan Hall. I really hope that's what happens.
Oh, my God. I just want them to do like their big, like over orchestrated intro, which, hey, like that is a cool thing that they do to start their big shows. Everyone comes out and they have the drums and all that. But to a Budokan Hall show that basically is five rows deep.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be, but that was where my mind went at first, was like, oh, I don't think it's bad news. I think they're announcing something big, air quotes big, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah, that's wild. Well, Case, that's going to do it this week for Open the Voice Gate. It is currently somehow scoreless in this baseball game, and the great thing about the pitch clocks, it's already in the fifth inning, and we've only been here an hour and a half. This was never the case before this year.
No.
Yeah, I've got to figure out if the Rangers lose, how much I'm willing to pay to get into the ballpark this weekend.
Oh, I would certainly be there for game six if you can make it.
Well, like the thing is that like they're only selling standing room seats, or I can go buy standing room seats to the old ballpark that they're also having people watch the game in.
Oh, my God. Are they really?
Yeah, it's kind of wild considering that the Cowboys are doing well, how much Dallas-Fort Worth is just going like, all right, well, it's all Rangers right now.
Oh, good. Well, that makes me happy. I like that.
Hey, I got a brand new Texas Rangers hat going into this week. It is a Peagle hat, and I feel like it's going to bring us to the World Series, and we'll see how the rest of this game goes.
There you go. All right. Well, Gate of Destiny is Sunday. I will have a review on voicesofwrestling.com, hopefully Monday. If not, Tuesday, and we will record back at our usual time on Tuesday evening next week as well.
Absolutely, and expect a preview column-ish kind of thing up later this week. Voices of Wrestling, the only place to go to for Dragon Gate English content. But that's going to do it. You could follow us on Twitter at Open Voice Gate. Cases is underscore in your case. I'm Fuji Heia. Thanks for listening to us. We'll be back with you next week. Take care.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener, Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.